Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to my newest monthly show, Waking Up with Maria and Monica, with my co-host, Monica Sepulveda. Monica is a great intuitive therapist, numerologist, teacher. The list goes on and on. You can check her work out at Monica, that's with two N's, .com. There's a live link here, so you can just click on through. Good morning, Monica.
Good morning. This is a show called The M&Ms, right?
The M&Ms. Two wild and crazy girls.
The M&Ms with nuts.
I put plenty of nuts.
Yeah. You
know, it's interesting because I know you follow the news and I know you listen to the show. And I was thinking that, you know, a lot of people are on their last nerve. So today might be a good time to also cover how to relax, how to spiritually relax themselves, how to relax your mind, your body, how to ground, how to center.
Oh my God, that is so important right now, Maria. You're absolutely right. Because if each individual takes care of their own space, we change our frequency to one of love rather than fear or worry or doubt. And when you send that energy out, the planet changes itself. You're doing a favor to not only yourself, but everybody else, because we're so connected.
Absolutely. And then people don't realize that everything is frequency and everything is energy.
Exactly.
And you know, I don't know if you had time to hear the show I did with David yesterday, but we spent
I haven't heard it yet. I downloaded it, though.
Oh, good. Well, we spent a lot of time talking about the energy of fear that's out there and how they use that energy, and specifically in Hamburg with those protests that got violent, that kind of energy just creates more of the same. It's like fire fighting fire.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly, the agenda is certainly trying to keep us in fear. And a lot of people buy into that, but you've got to be smarter. You got to say there is no freaking way that you, can I swear?
Sure, of course.
There's no fucking way that you're going to get me to buy into fear, because fear, definition of fear, is an absence of love. Hello. You know, when you know that truth, and fear is an acronym, false evidence appearing real. When you look at those things, you realize that the only thing that causes things to go right and well is love. So why in the world would you entertain those emotions of fear, doubt, and worry?
Right. Well, you know,
that doesn't make sense.
I agree. Well, you know, I did a show a couple of years ago with a woman who wrote a great book on why worry, basically. And she made an interesting little point. She said 80% of what we worry about never happens.
Exactly.
So why worry? You know what I mean? But people still want to worry. You know, I use a different acronym for fear. I call it forever experiencing another reality.
Oh, I love that.
And I think,
I love that. And you know that worry really damages our health. So it's not worth it to me. I'm not willing to sacrifice my health because of worry, because it absolutely accomplishes nothing. What it does is it brings so much stress that it lowers the immune system and we get sick. But it doesn't have any solution. It just does a lot of damage.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think if everybody sat back and thinks about what they worried about a year ago, they probably can't remember what it was.
I just read that someplace recently, and it's like you sit there and go, why did I worry about this so much? Things always tend to work out, but you've got to start the day with like set the tone for the day, I've always been told. You know, for me, I do my own process of connecting my heart to source. Source meaning spirit, higher power, the great I am, love. Some people call it God. I don't call it the universe, because to me that's limiting that source, because the source did create the universe. Mm. So why give it up to the universe if there's something greater than that?
Right.
And I do that every morning. It doesn't take long. It takes a few seconds just to simply say, my heart is connected to yours. And we're not a, you know, a drop of the ocean. We are the ocean in a drop. So we are one and the same. And that, for some reason, brings me a sense of balance and comfort.
No, I could totally understand it. Look, I set my intention the first thing in the morning and last thing at night. You know, if you can start your day with a simple little quick spiritual practice and end it the same way, you're going to have good days. Nobody's saying they're going to be perfect, but they're going to be good days.
Well, you're absolutely right. You know, one of my mentors, when I was 22 years old, I was in his Learjet, and he said, if you don't start the day by setting the tone, he said, then it's like calling Sears and giving them your credit card and saying, send me anything.
Right. Hey, I had an experience with some wacko like that once. And what a story that is. But I'll give it to you in a nutshell. Years ago, I was asked to teach on an intuition cruise. And at the time, of course, I was teaching the medicine wheel and Native American spirituality. So I was all for it. I had never done anything like that. And I took one of my students with me. And while the ship was loading in Florida, all the other teachers were coming aboard. There were probably about 20. And this one woman comes in. She's the last one. She's got this huge gong, okay, a real gong. It must have been like 4 feet big, you know what I mean? And And she looked like olive oil. That's what I remember about her. And she, they give her the opening prayers to say for this spiritual group on this journey, right? Well, as I'm listening to her, she's calling in this spirit, that spirit, whatever. And then I start hearing her. She must have ran out of names. She starts calling in all these dark energies, right? So I immediately grab my student's hand. I said, put a protection around yourself right now, right?
Right now.
And then she finishes with, believe it or not, Monica, she says, and I call on the spirit of whatever. She actually said that. So now we start cruising the seven seas, which I hate as a, you know, an earth sign. You know, my feet need to be on the floor, on dirt. And as we're going along, we go through the Bermuda Triangle, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle, the ship breaks down. And when the captain comes on, nothing's working. Captain comes on and says, we're dead in the water. Okay, I'm saying to myself, no shit, we already figured that out. So we're dead in the water for like 24 hours in the Bermuda Triangle. There were a few normal people on the ship who I had met before that happened, and they were looking all over the ship for me. Well, I took my students and we got to find a wheel somewhere, and I figured I'd sit in the shuffleboard circle, right? So I'm sitting in the shuffleboard circle calling on my guides and spirit to protect me. And I look up and there's about 11 or 12 spaceships flying around the moon.
Now, I love it.
Now you got to understand, up until that very minute, I gave no credibility to UFOs. Zero. And yet there it is. I'm seeing it with my own eyes, right?
It's so great.
Seeing
it's a great
is believing. Yeah, but my thought was they were there for nefarious purpose. That's what I was getting. Well, I see this other couple that was normal who finally finds me sitting in the shuffleboard circle, and they come running towards me and they're like in a panic and they're like, Maria, are you seeing what we're seeing? What is it? And I said, remember when olive oil called in the spirit of whatever? I said, whatever has just arrived. And I can tell you this. There was an extreme personality change on everybody on that ship by the next day. And my first thought was invasion of the body snatchers. So I decided I wasn't going to drink. I was going to keep my faculties and I was going to stay awake all night. And that was, of course, the last cruise I ever took and the last one I ever will take.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, seeing them is a bit intimidating. But then for me, I always wanted to see them every night. So I looked at the stars every night. I did see them a total of four times. And five times, actually, and I was never alone. I'm fascinated by it, but if they're going to hurt us, they would have done it a long time ago.
Right. Well, this particular, listen, I've seen other ships all around. You know, I live in Arizona. You can't miss them. A lot of them were very friendly. You know, that movie Fire in the Sky was shot in Heber, where I used to have property, and they used to come in almost every time I was up there. But they were, you can sense that they were harmless. I knew what was happening on that cruise was not a good thing. And to me, it was like, oh my God, is this the Titanic part, chapter two? You know, because we all know about the energy in the Bermuda Triangle.
I've been there, and I had the weirdest dreams when I was on a cruise, and I felt a totally different reality, and I just woke up and I said, whoa, where were they? And they said, oh, we went over the Bermuda Triangle. Well, no wonder. It was the strangest thing I've ever been through.
Well, imagine being stuck, imagine being stuck in the middle of it for 24 hours. I was like, holy crap. And then another boat goes by, just like during the Titanic. Another boat goes by, flashes their lights to see if we needed help. And the captain just waved them on. And I was like, I looked at my girlfriend and I was like, oh my God. I said, is this going to be like a redo of the Titanic? Been there, done that, don't want to do that again. And it was just a crazy experience. And of course, they tried to blame it on me because I had done a full moon ceremony the night before. And we got the rings around the moon when I was done, which is the way universe responds to something sacred. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what about olive oil with her spirit or whatever? I'm like, what the hell is this? So, you know, listen, I've been on a couple of those types of supposed spiritual sojourns, you know, with the pilgrims. And I can tell you that those are things I'll never do again because those people are not for real. And the way they conducted themselves overseas, it was anything but a spiritual journey.
Wow.
So, you know, there's always that importance of be careful who you align your name with on even on a marquee. Because I found that a lot of people I respected as teachers in real life were not walking the talk.
Oh my gosh, I've run into so many of them. I'm not even going to name them because when people ask, oh, I just love this person, I'm like, oh, that person's right, like evil.
Right.
And I always get confirmation, you know, like someone always knows that person. I go, wait till I tell you about this one. I'm like, I knew it. I just knew it. You can feel it.
Right, exactly.
You know, if you stay in tune with your own intuition, it doesn't lie. It tells us the truth, you know. So
absolutely.
The key is don't stay in the cerebral part of the brain, the left brain. Let your intuition come through and guide you, but you have to be very calm to do it, which is why you set the tone of the day so that you're in a good space. That's how you have to start it, and then the rest takes place by itself. But most people go into the emotional center way too much, and they're allowed it to be manipulated by outside forces. Which to me, I just say, fuck you.
Right.
There's no fucking way that you're going to take over my emotions. I own my emotions. And these that are toxic, I let them go, but I let them go with lots of love because I'm not going to send negative energy out to the planet. I'm going to bless it first, and I'm going to have a chat with it. Why were you within me? Can you explain why? And then if you talk to it, as if that emotion turns into a little person, it will actually tell you why it's been within you. And it'll actually educate us to tell us, you know, I've been with you for 20 years because when this and this and this happened to you, that's when I took over. I thought I was helping you. So you have to have a nice little talk with it and you have to set it free, but you make sure that you convert it. I always give it an assignment. Go to the nearest animal hospital and heal the animals, you know, and it goes, okay.
Right. Or something negative shows up.
Energy. I mean, right. Even Einstein said that you can't create energy, you can't destroy it, but you can convert it. And people need to learn how to do that. More often and not, you don't stay in a negative place because that's called suffering and pain, even emotional pain, was never meant to cause suffering. It was meant to wake us up to give us a message. Hey, make a change on the inside.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
And that's what we need to do. So anyway, the one of the things that you were talking to me about before is that you wanted me to give some insight on a particular, is it a friend of yours or someone that you
actually
know?
She's a really good supporter of the show, and she's somebody that's been a client of mine for a long time. And I did put out on the show, I forgot to tell you, when I announced the show, I said, if anybody has any specific topics or questions you want us to cover, just send it in. And she did, and we'll keep her name, you know, anonymous.
Yes.
But what she had written was for her son, Fernando. She said his father died in 1994 when he was 8, mm-hmm. 8 years old, the boy, obviously, and that mm-hmm. he sometimes feels his father around him, has dreams about him, but he can't get the message clear and wants to know if his father has a message for him.
Yeah, actually, I do have a message because I contacted him this morning. I said, I want you to be here for the show. And he said, I'm already here. So I just thought, because I'm a medium, I've been doing this mediumship work since my cousin died in 1980. And what he said to me was that he was so glad that he passed. He said he never would have been the same. It loses a quality life when you are different, you're impaired. And he said that he was glad he crossed over, and he's very, very happy. But he said he's been helping his son for a long time. And he said that his son needs to trust whenever he feels him around, because he is around him. The message is, I love you. It's so simple. I love you, and I'm here for you. The key is, he told me that his son's brain is too active. It's always moving mile an hour, and it's like 5 miles an hour, and he can't get through to him, so his son doesn't know how to receive the message. But to trust that when he feels him, let that love come into his heart, because that'll really help him. He told me his son is extremely talented, and he's going to be very successful. He's so proud of him, but he misses his father. He misses the energy of his father being in his life. But it's easy for me to teach a person how to connect with a person and to do what I do, because it's not hard. Some people think, oh, you've got these powers and these gifts. They're not powers. They're gifts that we all have. It's just in a different part of the brain. That's all. So what I do is I teach that. And if a person wants that kind of lesson, it's like, okay, let me show you exactly what you need to do, because there are exercises involved. Just like if you go to a gym and you want to have a great body, it's not going to happen in one day. You're going to have to do this repeatedly.
All right.
So I'm hearing from his father that he wants to be in touch with him more, but the son is always too busy, and so he can't get through. It's kind of like when you call someone and their phone number is always busy.
Right.
It's like, oh, shit, and they don't have voicemail.
All right, you know? Can't get through.
So that's what he's trying to do, but the son needs to calm down, because he's always got a lot on his plate, and that's what he said to me.
Oh, okay. Well, that's pretty much in alignment with what I usually pick up from him as well.
Yeah, well, there you go, because he's not going to lie to either one of us. He's going to tell us the truth. But his son needs to calm down so he can hear the message.
Right.
You know, and he's there to give him guidance as well, because he knows his son would love to talk to him and just, you know, run things by him. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? You know, because he trusted that. Right now he's kind of like on his own, but he's a strong person. His son's a very strong person, strong character, and he has a very strong drive to do well in this lifetime, and he will. The father was telling me that his son is going to be very successful, and nothing's going to cause him to deviate from that, because he's already made up his mind.
Good. All good news, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he just wants him to calm down a little bit, because he takes on too much. And taking on too much, as you know, it's like we're not a human doing, we're a human being.
Well, that's the thing. People don't realize that sometimes you just have to be and be in the quiet in order to receive.
Amen.
You know, and they make meditation seem so difficult, because I believe meditation's been mistaught for so long.
I so agree with you, Maria. I don't even like to meditate. I like to visualize.
Right. Well, for me, it's more daydreaming. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, to me, whatever you're concentrating on, you're in a meditative state. And I've watched so many people through the years in different classes and groups be so frustrated because they're not getting visions or full-blown movies, you know, like everybody else. And they put so much pressure on themselves, when all it is just get quiet. You know, work in the garden, you know, do a painting, sit and listen to some classical music.
Don't you think that, art, that's a great way to go into a meditative state. I actually color. I buy mandala coloring books, and I get felt tip pens, like a box of 100.
Right.
And I'll sit there, and I'll have people come over, and we'll put the mandalas in the middle of the table, and all the colors, and people pick a mandala that they like. They look like stained glass windows.
Mm-hmm.
And then you pick your colors, and you start coloring the mandala, and you sit there and have some wine and just, you know, talk and bond. And by the time you're done, you've painted the mandala the color that your body needs in order to balance out the chakras. So it's an open-eyed meditation. And then you actually just take a thumbtack and put it up on your wall, and you look at it and breathe in those colors, and it actually balances you out. It's really effective, and it's a lot of fun. Then I heard, I've been doing this since the 80s, and I heard all of a sudden on the news about a month ago that it's all the rage in New York.
Oh, yeah, grown-up coloring books, right? Grown-up coloring books. They're all over the place in Arizona.
Oh, well, hello. You guys are in a place that's kind of evolved, right?
Right, but I mean, if you think about it, when you were a little kid, or you look at little kids coloring with crayons, they're totally into it. They're in the zone. They're already there, just sitting down and coloring.
Yeah, because it's right brain activity.
Exactly. Because, you know, I know
and I always tell people, if you're too left brain, put more weight, because the left brain controls the right side of the body. The right brain intuition controls the left side of the body. And if you need more intuitive information, then shift your weight when you're standing in line or something. Shift your weight all the way to the left-hand side of the body. So you're standing there and start picking things up with the left hand, doing things with the left hand, and that will start triggering the right brain. It's so simple. These tools are easy.
Right. Well, you know, being left-handed, I like that expression, that only left-handed people are in their right mind.
Yeah. Are you left-handed too?
Yes, I am.
So am I.
Well, what a coinkydink.
I know.
When I was a kid, because I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, they believed if you were left-handed, you were the devil, because the devil is left-handed.
Oh, yeah, they used to always hit your hand. But, you know, they used to try to give me lefty scissors, and I can't do anything but write with my left hand. Everything else I do with my right hand. So it's ambidextrous.
Uh-huh.
And I don't write, like, upside down. You know, like some people that write with their left hand, they put their hand above, and it looks really weird and retarded.
But no, I don't either. I turn the page. I move the paper.
I turn the page.
But, and that used to really bother me when I used to watch Barack Obama sign something with his hand all twisted. I'm like, wow, if you want carpal tunnel syndrome, that's the way to get it.
That's exactly right. No, I write underneath the page, you know, like my arm's not up or my hand's not over, it's below. So that's why people don't notice I'm left-handed. But I like being left-handed.
I do too. We're more creative.
If I get any more creative,
I might explode. Anyway,
I don't know if you are okay with this, but I love for the listeners, sometimes they just can't get through, or you have a force that doesn't allow that to happen.
Uh-huh.
Teach every listener something about themselves. And with the information I have today, I can quickly teach them how to look at their lives and look at what they're going on through this year, their theme, so to speak. So if you would allow me to do that, I would love.
Yeah, of course. I'd love to hear it myself.
Okay, great. Well, I'm going to use your birthday, not the year, just the month and day.
Okay.
So what we're going to learn is the numerology personal year. The personal year will let you know what this year is all about and what you need to be doing in order to accentuate and get the best out of it. So there is a positive interpretation, but there's also the flip side of the coin, a negative interpretation if you don't do the positive.
Right.
So that's just the way it is. So here, let's get started. If you guys want to get some pen and paper, or just, you know, or listen to this, and you can always email me and I'll just send you the information via email. That's easy too. So what you want to do is this. In order to find out what your personal year is, you take the birth month, like, you know, you're born on the 12th month, but in numerology, we always reduce two digits to a single digit. So the 12th month then becomes a 3 because 1 plus 2 equals 3, correct?
Right.
Then you're born on the 21st day of December, and that, again, is a 2 plus 1 equals 3. So now we have 2 threes. You total those 2 threes, and that gives you the number 6, correct?
Right.
You add your birth of month and birthday, total those, get a single digit, and then you add it to the current calendar year. This year's 2017, so basically it's this, 2 plus 1 plus 7 equals 10. Then 1 plus 0 equals 1 because we reduced to a single digit. So now you have your 6, and now you have your number 1 for the current year. You total those two, and you have a 7. So, Maria, you're in a 7 personal year, which brings for you opportunities to set up even a more successful business and expand it. But since your birthday is at the end of the year, it really doesn't kick in until after you've had your birthday. So you're one of those that has to kind of wait till the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
Mine's in April, April 10th. So April 10th would be 4/10, which is 14. That's 1 plus 4 equals 5. And I add the 5 to the current year, 2017, which is a 1, and that gives me a 6. So what I want the listeners to do is to figure this out. It takes a few seconds just to total the numbers. It's not rocket science. So simple. And then I want to tell you what each year means so that you know.
Right. So in other words, they're going to total their month numbers and their day number. Then they're going to add it to 2017, which is a 10, which reduces to a 1. And then they're going to add that, and you always reduce it. Is that correct?
Yeah, to a single digit. Anytime you have a double digit, you add those two together and reduce to a single digit. So if somebody was born on 11/24, the 11 becomes a 2, the 24 becomes a 6, 2 plus 6 is 8. You add that to the current year, which is 2017, which is a 1, and that totals to a 9.
All right.
So I'm going to quickly go through what each number brings to you and what to focus. And remember, you can always download this show and go through it again. Instead of taking notes, you can just do it later, you know. But I just want to get through these because it is so, so freaking accurate. I mean, it's so accurate.
Yeah, let's hear it. So what would you call it, like a number one personal year?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'm going to go through the personal years. I'm going to go through all 9 of them. But there's actually an 11 and a 22 and a 33. But the personal years are typically number 1 through 9. So if your birthday and the current year total to a 1, it means new beginnings, set goals, initiate. You're on your own, so focus on yourself. It's kind of like the best time, like when you buy a package of seeds, it says plant these in March. It gives you the timing. This is about timing. So plant the new seeds and don't expect them to grow the next day because you have to be patient. To be impatient is ridiculous because that's like being pregnant, saying, okay, I've been pregnant 5 months, I want to give birth now. No, you got to wait the 9 months, and everything has a cycle. So you start things in a 1 year, start businesses in a 1 year. You can start not relationships, because this is about you, and relationships involves another human being. So it's about you maximizing and getting the best that you can out of what you've initiated and what you've done. There is a negative side to the one, and that's when the person goes into the false side of an ego. There's non-action. They just contemplate. But what happens when you have beautiful soil in your backyard and you don't plant anything? You're like, well, I want these beautiful flowers, but you didn't plant anything. You have to initiate. And like I say, if you don't plant the seeds, you're going to grow weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're sitting there complaining, why is my life not working? Well, hey,
right.
You got to plant the seeds first, you know?
Right.
So people can make poor choices. It leads to negative results, and they become self-serving, and then they complain. But you didn't take the action. That's why it says in scripture a long time ago when I used to study it, God helps those who help themselves. We have to help ourselves, and we have to make those choices, because our responsibility on this planet is free will, which means to choose. Make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Choose. And don't keep making the same old decisions, because you're going to get the same results. Okay, if you're in a 2-year, if you think about the scales of justice, what does that represent? Balance. So the balance is mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. That is quite a task. So if you're waking up really negative, you have to look to see, is this mental? Is this emotional? Is it spiritual? Is this physical? Well, typically it's because they're not even focusing in on the spirit, which is the one that creates the balance. Because we are spirit, after all, having a human experience, right?
Right.
And so when you focus on the 2, balance. You have to maintain focus on starting your day correctly, setting the tone for the day. And you want peace, harmony, and balance on every level, mental, emotional, spiritual, physical. The negative would be out of balance. No harmony, no peace, no mental happiness. The emotions are all over the map. And that's because we're not taking care of one of those 4. So we're looking at the spiritual, mental, emotional, and physical. So the negative, the 2 is a very important year, because we started the 1 year focusing on the self, but we need to continue it in the 2 year. In the 3 year, if your birthday total to a 3 with the current calendar year, it's my favorite year. It's about intuition and joy and learning and teaching and creativity and music and laughter and fun. It's so many wonderful things. It's all accelerated. But if you get into the negative part of the 3, that's depression, being overly cerebral, being emotional and confused, and just being a pain in the ass to be around. So we still have to focus on the self, because we have to make sure that we're on the right side of that 3. It can be the most fun year, or it can be the most dreaded year. The number 4, it has to do with work, being organized, being focused, you know, getting out there and just doing it. And the negative part of it is creature of habit. Because when you think of the number 4, it does form a box, 4 sides, and it equals a box. So a lot of times people, being creature of habit, will stay in that box and they're afraid to get out. And they're afraid to get out because they don't understand that the future may hold something better for them. They'd rather stay in that little safe box. But no, the key is to think outside the box, open one side, and get out there and make new choices. The four makes you feel like you're back in the driver's seat also, especially if you didn't handle the 3 year very well and you were emotionally on a roller coaster. The four gives you the opportunity to get back behind the wheel and to take charge and just go for it. So I like that four. Mm-hmm. The five is really cool because it's all about change. So it's about options and opportunities and job offers. There's usually a change of residence in a five or a change of job, one of the two or both. And the negative side to a five is because it brings so much into your life, it can scatter the energy on a mental level. And then there's no clarity, so therefore people end up making bad choices because it's too impulsive. So the key here is to see when you've asked for it, you got a Toyota, so to speak, that when you wanted a job change and that all of a sudden appears, don't sit there and wonder, was this the one?
Right.
Well, that's it.
Right.
You know, came there for a reason, you know? So that five is really important because that's kind of like the saving grace. If you didn't handle the first 4 years very well, the five is what comes to save you. Go with the flow. Look at what's being offered to you. Don't say, I wanted a job, but then here it is. Is this the one? What if it's not the right one? That's going back into the left brain of emotional fears and worries and doubts, which serve nothing. They do nothing good. So
right.
Going into the six.
Hey,
the
hold six on there. Before you go into the six, we need to take a short break. So,
So
all you people still contemplating on five, hang with us because we're about to come back with six.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground. Out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at maria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Waking Up with the M&M Girls. I'll call it the M&M Girls.
We're not nuts.
Life is like a box of chocolate. Sometimes I get the pits and sometimes you get the nuts. I'm loving this explanation in numerology. It's very easy to grasp.
And
I've always believed, that there's power in numbers. I always check numbers before I move into an apartment or a house to make sure numbers are going to work. I have people call me to do the numbers on their house. I'm not an expert as you are, but I can certainly steer them away from the bad ones. So let's get up to the sixth personal year. If your number's already in the sixth personal year,
this is the number of love. People usually meet their mate sometime in the end of the fifth year. And they have a relationship in the sixth year. But it has to do, and it's contingent upon the love of the self. Because we don't get what we want. We get who we are. So if we have a good relationship with ourselves and we have plenty of self-love, we're going to bring in that mate that's going to be a reflection of us. It also has to do with taking responsibility for the health and being responsible for the people that you love, taking care of them as well. So we can't be selfish here. We have to be in a place of giving in love and giving to others. Being the best that we are. The negative is health issues, broken relationships. People usually get, they get married in the sixth. That's why they get married in June. It's the sixth month. However, if the relationship is selfish and you're not giving to your partner because you're a workaholic, it's going to break down that relationship, which usually ends up breaking up completely in a seven. But staying with the six, it does have indications of health issues because we're not focused on self. So my feeling here is that it's important still to stay with, you know, focusing on you. And then from there, everything else, there's more of you to give. There's more of you to be there for other people. You're a better mate, better husband, better, you know, better boyfriend, girlfriend, better parent, better at your work. So again, all these numbers are geared to focus on you first. And they all go together perfectly. They blend. So negative health, negative, the side of it is health issues. When there's health issues, that means we haven't been focused on self. We take our bodies for granted. It works for us 24/7. We feed it garbage. We're not exercising. We're not, you know, being good to it. We must also rest, get plenty of sleep, hydration, all those things, you know. And that means that those are all indications of self-love. Excuse me. Going into a seven. Seven is a year of introspection. So we take an inventory and we look at and ask questions such as, am I happy? And if not, why? What do I need to do to change this? This way we stay centered. So we have to work on the relationship with ourselves to make sure that we're experiencing a level of joy. And if not, we have to change that first. And then again, we can be there for the other people in our lives. Now, but most people get overwhelmed by their bills, by their job, by their career, whatever. They tend to ignore the relationships because they're freaking out over the other stuff. And that's why relationships will fall apart. There's no communication anymore. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there's men that just don't want to talk about it. But you know what? Nobody's a fucking mind reader. So use your words, you know?
Right.
So start with the self. Set up the career. Look to improve it because the seven has lots of opportunities. If you're in the flow, it's going to present itself ways for you to better yourself financially. The negative, sabotaging oneself due to a lack of the above, a loss of opportunities due to fear. So we are actually confronted with those emotions that I call white noise and liars. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, get rid of fear, worry, and self-doubt because that's what holds us back. And you know that our money is directly in proportion with how we feel about ourselves. So self-esteem and money go hand in hand. And then the second thing is fear of not having it. That falls into the number eight. Because the number eight, everything is amplified. Emotions are amplified. Money gets amplified if you're in a good space. Fame can be a part of that as well. And you get a lot of good things because it's like someone took an amplifier and just amplified your whole life. And whatever vibration you're holding on to is going to be what you attract. The negative side of that, conversely, is that if you're in a negative side like fear, am I going to get my bills paid? What's going to happen? That kind of thinking is sabotaging because it's focusing on lack. So that's when people have losses. They lose money, they lose opportunities, and it's all due to fear. Mm-hmm. So again, you can see that all these numbers have to do with taking care of the self first. You can either expand and have it all in an eight, or it's all taken away. It's huge. That
right.
Number eight is powerful.
Right. I always tell people, what you fear, you draw near.
Totally. And you're going into an eight next year. So this is really cool because, you know, looking at opportunities this year, and a lot of them for you, Maria, will come to you on your own. Your intuition is so great. You know, your ability to intuit for yourself is also there. Sometimes we do need each other, so you can always count on me if you need anything, just like I count on you, God knows,
no
right?
No problem there. But I can see that coming to fruition just from some recent connections I've made.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic, fantastic. So that means that you've been aware and awake and you keep your mind open and you're not letting anything escape you. You're looking at all things that are viable solutions and opportunities for you. So good job.
Well, yeah, and I tell people all the time, you know, when spirit puts an opportunity in front of you or a gift in front of you, who
yeah.
are you to turn it down? You know, if somebody says, oh, you really need to meet this person, why are you not doing that? Do you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
So don't
totally.
Be too busy to end up missing out on what could end up being the best part of your life.
Yeah, and people ask all the time, I really want this, I really want that. And then it shows up, and they're like, well, maybe it's the wrong thing. And I'm like, oh, shut up. Just get out of your brain. Get out of the noise, the white noise, the left brain. That's the one that, because, you know, intuition comes through as an original thought. But then people argue over it because their fear and their worry and their doubt kicks in. That's all left brain stuff. So just tell it to shut up. And then listen to the intuition, follow through on that guidance, because it can't lie to us. It only tells us the truth. And then watch what happens. And the more we pay attention to it, the more it reveals itself with more information. So that takes us to the eight. We're done with the eight. And the last number here is humanitarianism, which is the number nine. Do for your fellow man. Do acts of random acts of kindness. You know, like sometimes I'll be going through a bridge since I live here on the West Coast and go to San Francisco. I'll pay the toll for the car behind me, a random act of kindness. I don't know those people, but they usually catch up to me and honk the horn and wave and say thank you. It kind of feels good just to do something nice, you know.
Absolutely.
Taking care of fellow man, humanitarian, is a work that you and I do. We're committed to it. We want to help people help themselves. That's our job, because you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day, but if you teach him how to fish, you feed him for the rest of his life. And I think that that's our purpose, Maria.
I totally agree. Listen, you know, I've always considered myself, no matter which one of my jobs I've been doing in my life, I always considered myself a teacher first and foremost.
Yeah, and then when I look at the negative side to the nine, that reminds me of the Republican right, those people that could give a shit about 35 million people losing their health care. They have no heart. They just think about me, and there's consequences for that, you know? And it's like, sorry to get political, but I have to here, because that describes them to a T. They don't care. They don't care who's getting hurt. They have no empathy, no compassion. It's kind of like, oh, but we're religious Christians and stuff. Bullshit. No, you're not. Look at your actions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that say they're spiritual and then their actions are opposing that, I'm like, you hypocrite. You're not, and I don't have any problem telling a person, you're not spiritual. Look at your actions. Your actions. My mom always said, who you are speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. And that's the truth. So the nine is humanitarian. Do for your fellow man. But the negative is being selfish, fearful, not caring, no empathy, no compassion. So don't hold back love or kindness. It doesn't cost us anything to give that to ourselves. Just coming from the heart and sending love to the planet. And having compassion. What if it's happening to you? This happened in Nazi Germany. People got complacent. They didn't care. And so look what happened. And when it knocks on your door, and who's there to help you? Uh-oh. So all of these numbers are important. Now, there is three exalted numbers in numerology. If your birth date totals to an 11, the 11 is the number of inspiration, which means at that point in time, read things, do things that inspire you, that move you, and there's a best that comes out of you that allows you to be able to really do something important. But the negative side of the 11 is when the 11 is reduced to the number 2, which goes back to what? Balance. You got to balance yourself.
All right, but let me break you right there. When you say, because I see you covering the master numbers, 11, 22, and 33, and a lot of people say those numbers should never be reduced.
That's correct.
And when you say get your birth, are you saying to add your day of birth, your month, and the year you were born to see if you are a master number? How do you know that?
Well, that's when you're finding out what your purpose is. It's called your path. But if you're looking for the personal year and those numbers total to an 11, then, you know, like let's say it totaled to a 29, then 29 add together, that's an 11. So you end up with an 11. You don't reduce those numbers.
Oh, okay. That's the part.
Okay,
that gets
and that's
a little
the number.
Tricky.
You need inspiration during that time in order to be able to come up with incredible ideas and plans that will inspire not only yourself but other people. That's when people get the ideas to write a book, you know, because they want to, again, they want to do all the above. They want to make a difference in the world. They want to leave a legacy. Mm-hmm. But that's the number of inspiration. It's a heavy responsibility, and if we're not on that positive side, it's reduced to the number 2. The number 2 has to do with balancing the self. You know, and that's quite a task, actually, the balance of the self. It just seems easier, you know, when I say it, but it's actually
very difficult for most people. They're out of balance somewhere.
You have to be self-aware. So the 22 is what they always used to call Donald fucking Trump, because I can't stand that man's face. I'm sorry, but you know what? What I do every day is I send love to those in politics to make the right decisions. And so far, so good with respect to that Health Care Act, okay? And so with him, I know he's building such bad karma that he's going to take care of himself. So I can't send him anything negative because he's already creating that negativity. And watch what happens between October and November. That's my prediction. There's a little surprise that it's going to happen with this one.
Good. Can't wait.
But I don't like to look at his face.
I don't want to look at any part of him.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
So you're saying he's the negative of the 22?
The positive of the 22 is called the master builder. That's why he was always known as the perfect 22, because he was building. But this was back in the 80s, you know, and all, little by little he started losing integrity because he lost himself. He is not a spiritual person. Those people that say he is are delusional. So 22 is a master builder, but the negative side of a 22 is a master destroyer, and that's what we're seeing right now for him specifically.
Right.
You destroy everything that you build. Anything that was good, it falls apart, and that's exactly what's going to be happening for him. And it is, since he actually swore the oath, every day there's news about him where nothing's working right for him. Of course, you have Fox News that tells you the opposite because they're paid to do that.
Right.
But, you know, who cares? Don't watch him. The 33 is the exalted number, which is called the number of Jesus Christ, because he died at age 33. So there's a lot of times in the 33, which is a double three, double creativity, double intuition, double everything that was a number three, joy, creativity, all these things. When we stay in that frame of mind, everything just comes our way because we're in that frame of mind and we can only attract that which we are. The negative side of the 33 being a six means that we're not being reduced to a six, which means now we have to focus on love of self, responsibility for our health. You know, we have to learn to give to others. There can be health issues and that kind of thing. So we have to stay on the exalted side of these numbers. So that's it in a nutshell. Again, I'm more than happy to email you the information if you want it. If you took good notes, or just download this recording and then just take notes. You can always pause it when you download it.
Right. Exactly. Well, thanks for all of that. You know, while you were all chanting away on all those numbers, when I look at, if I add my birth year to my day and month, it comes out to an 11.
Yeah, that's exactly your path in this lifetime. Mine totals to a 3, which means I'm here to teach.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm very creative. I sing. I like the color. I come up with creative ideas. You know, that's where I love to be happy and I love to laugh all the time because laughter heals us. It's really, really important to do that. And so I love the number 3. It's the number of the sage. It's the teacher. You're number 11. You're here to inspire people. And that's exactly what you do, Maria. You know, you cover everything. And it wakes up people because I love your style. It is, you're one of a kind.
Oh, that's what my mother used to say.
What'd she say? They cut out the mold when they made you and threw it away, right?
She always said they broke the mold when they made you. And then she would always add, thank God. To the end
Well, you know what? We're both fire signs, Venus, Sagittarius, and Aries. They're hard to raise these kids, you know, because we're like spitfire. We're always like moving around and doing stuff. And they used to call me Professor Einstein growing up because I could always figure things out. My mind was so cleared with imagination that I could always see how things work together.
My
dad was an electrician, so I was able to fix anything.
Right. Well, my nickname was Kate Loves a Mystery. Because I could always figure something out, even crimes. Neighborhood crimes. I used to go out and solve neighborhood crimes when I lived in New York.
Oh, my God. That is so great. I love hearing that. I didn't do the crimes. I just fixed things, you know.
Oh, it was funny because my ex-husband one night, my neighbor's Jeep was stolen with his favorite surfboard on top. And it just so happened that I was driving to a class. This is so long ago. Where I was studying Tarot with this woman who lived about 5 towns away. And on the way to the drive, don't you know, this guy's car is right in front of me with the crooks in it. So I decide to follow the car all alone. I'm following the car, and then I see cops coming in the opposite direction. I honk to death for the cops. They roll down their window. I point to the car, and I go, that's a stolen car, after them, right? So I go a few more blocks. I see the cops had pulled the guy over, but there was only one cop and 2 criminals. So I stopped another cop car and I said, that officer needs assistance. And they didn't even question me. It was so hilarious. And then, of course, I kept going because I didn't want to be late for my class. So by the time I got home, it was probably 11 o'clock at night. And I walk in the house and I can hear my husband's in the shower. And he hears me, you know, coming in the house. And I hear him say, "Is that Kate? Is that Kate Loves a Mystery?" And as soon as he said that, I started laughing so hard, Monica, I bowled over. And he said, "When the cops said a redhead stopped that car and found Ed's car, I knew it could only be Kate," he said to me.
Oh, my God.
And my neighbor came over and actually bowed down to me because he was so happy that I found his car.
Yeah. feels so good when you're able to do something like that. And sometimes I wonder, do we attract being at the right place at the right time? I say yes.
Right. Well, obviously, I was supposed to be there. I was pretty gutsy,
exactly.
If you think about it.
No coincidences ever. Do you remember that show? It was, what's his name? America's Most Wanted. The one before that with Elliot Ness, the guy who played Elliot Ness. Gosh, what was his name? Handsome man.
I know who you're talking about.
Unsolved Mysteries. Unsolved Mysteries. There was a girl named Naomi that was kidnapped. Well, it's like, and I remember her name because I never liked the name Naomi. You know, and so she was a little girl, about 18, and she was stolen at a fair in the East Bay here in California. And so what I did was I kept looking at her face and memorized. I go, "But who in the world would name that kid Naomi? Poor thing."
Right.
You know, and so friends of mine who are gay, they said, "Hey, you want to go to the gay parade with us?" I go, "Well, I've never been, so I might as well go." And so I'm standing there watching this parade. I turn around, and there's that Naomi right behind me and the two people that abducted her.
Wow.
And I was like, I immediately called the cops. I go, they're right here, right behind me. And other people saw him and recognized her too. And I said, what's her name? The girl says Naomi and the guy says Marie. Mm. Well, her name was Naomi Marie. So when they contradicted themselves, I thought, that's her, you know. And she was like 18 months, so she was in a stroller. And so they had other sightings as well. But they did catch the two people and they put them away. And I thought, okay, how did that happen? I was obviously meant to be here.
Right.
And other people as well. And that's what I started thinking. How do these, you know, because thoughts are so powerful that whatever you're focused on manifests. And I have a little short story to tell you about that, because I remember one time reading in the paper about this girl who was leaving the stadium where the Warriors play, Oracle Arena in Oakland. And as she's walking out, this guy takes her gold chain and he rips it off her neck. And I started thinking, well, shoot, if that happened to me, I would probably just yell out to the guy, "It's a fake. It's not even real. You know, it's fake jewelry." And I obsessed on that for like a whole year. What, guess what happened to me? I was leaving a 49er game at the stadium again, and I was in the car at the stop sign, and I had a brand new chain. I paid like $1,800 for this gold chain, and he reached in the car window and he yanked it off my neck, leaving me burns on the side because it was so thick. And I panicked, and I looked at my boyfriend. I said, "Go ask him." He goes, "Are you kidding me? These guys have knives." I'd only owned it for 4 days, and I thought, my God, I've been obsessing on this, saying what I was going to say to the guy, like,
right,
this is costume jewelry. I didn't even say any of that, and I thought, it's because I had it on my mind for such a long time of what I would do that it actually happened to me.
Exactly.
So that's what I was convinced. We have to take care of our thoughts.
Right. And well, I got to give you another story on the gold chain thing, because you just brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, listen, my sisters and I, we all grew up in Brooklyn, so we're kind of a little bit on the gangster side. And a couple of years back, my younger sister was on the New York subway, and she was wearing her chains, okay? And she was, all her chains were fake. And she said this guy got on the train, and he had all his chains on, you know, Mr. T, loaded to the top. And he went and he grabbed her chains. And as he grabbed her chains, she grabbed his.
Ah.
He got the fakes and she got the real one.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's a good story.
That's a hilarious story. I was pissing my pants when my sister told me that.
Oh, my God.
So, no, well, I guess they kicked on the wrong mafioso girl that time.
Yeah, that's a great story. You know, for me, it's just, it proves that thoughts are things. Whatever you focus on manifests into the reality. And people that think otherwise, hey, try it yourself. You'll see.
Oh,
focus,
yeah.
Focus on something. You know, oh, this is case in point. When people break up relationships, they're constantly seeing the name of that person that was their mate. You
right.
see it everywhere. Mm. And you don't want to even hear it, but you see it everywhere. That's because it's on your mind.
Right.
Why do I keep seeing the name Mike everywhere? that's my ex-boyfriend. I'm trying to get over him, but I just see it ever because it's still in your subconscious mind. So in order to get rid of those things, we have to consciously make an effort to say no, 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 get out of my brain,
right.
No.
Right. Well, and, you know, I always tell people when you get those kind of thoughts, just say out loud, I cancel that thought.
Absolutely. Cancel, cancel.
Right. Cancel, cancel. Because say fire sale, everything must go. Fire sale in the brain, everything must go.
Yeah, the brain is a biocomputer. It literally stores everything, and it doesn't have a sense of humor. So when people go, oh, I almost died, stop saying that.
I know. You know. I always correct my friends. I'll always say, what are you projecting now? When they say something stupid like that. I'm like, what are you projecting now? I was with two of my friends. We were going into a Costco, and the first thing one of them did is he gets in one of those little automatic drive vehicles.
Yeah.
And he thought it was funny. And I'm looking at him and I'm like, you know, they're for the handicapped. And I looked at him and I screamed at him. I said, what are you projecting now? You know what I mean? So, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to really think, you know, think about
Absolutely.
What you're doing and what you're saying to yourself.
And it does take some discipline to learn to do that. It takes discipline. But, you know, once you've done it like 27 times in a row, actually becomes part of your normal behavior, and you've changed that. You've installed something different instead of that default behavior, as David calls it.
Right.
I love that default behavior. And so, but it takes up 27 repetitions. Kind of like if you're working at a desk and you keep your garbage can behind you to the right, you're always just automatically throwing your garbage into that can on the right. But let's say that the janitor moved it to the left. You keep throwing it to the right until finally you're like, wait a minute.
Right.
All of a sudden you have to switch it. So it's a conscious effort.
Absolutely. Well, Monica, this was a quick hour.
It's over,
and I really enjoyed it. So I'm looking forward to doing this every month with you.
Me too.
All right, doll.
Me too. Yeah, we'll cover different subjects, and anybody that's listening, you're always going to learn something from this.
Absolutely. You
Marie
got a
and
subject
I have
topic.
Probably an accumulated, I don't know how many years experience.
Oh,
we
well, for me, if I want to go by my conscious thoughts, I mean, we're looking at 63 years just there.
God, and I've been in my business for 45 years, but I started receiving information from the time I was 11.
Right.
And I'm now 66. And we don't look our age. That's what's so cool.
Well, we do look our age. We just look good.
I don't look my age. I dye my hair.
Well, people say to me, wow, that you're that old. And to me, it's like, how is that possible? And I said, this is what my age looks like. You know,
right.
I believe age is just a number. And if you buy into the aging program, you will age.
You will age. Absolutely. Like Lincoln said, after a certain age, we're responsible for our face and how we look. And so I totally bought into that, you know. The thing for me is that, yeah, I dye my hair because I don't like my hair gray. This doesn't look good on me. And you know what I did on Twitter? Because I'm on Twitter a lot. And that's where I express myself because you don't know anybody. You know what I mean?
Right.
And on Facebook, people know each other. That's why I don't have an account on Facebook. So on Twitter, I just said, all these women post they send these pictures of their bodies and how great they look. I said, bravo to you. But this is what 66 looks like. And I posted my birthday picture.
Uh-huh.
And people said, wow. They said, I can't even believe that that's what it looks like. I said, yeah, this is the new 66 is like the new 45, you know. And I'm not exaggerating, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I am thinking of getting a little work done.
Well, yeah. For me, it doesn't really matter. I'm too busy.
I lost 65 pounds, Maria, and when you do that, your face kind of creeps
to
the wrong places.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
I do have to have my neck tightened because I've got this little hanging skin here. So that's
no
the,
way. Whatever,
the downfall
whatever makes you happy. Whatever makes you happy. That's my goal with everybody.
And I'm doing it for me, and I'm looking for my husband. Or he's going to find me, actually. So.
He absolutely will. I have already predicted it. So say it, the prophecy.
You did predict it. You predicted it in December. Or you said it's going to happen this year. And I felt that I received it as well, too. I'm not meant to be alone for the rest of my life. I'm meant to have a mate.
Well, then that will be what will be. All right, darling. Well, I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Oh, Maria, it's always a pleasure. I love you.
Love you, too.
Okay, bye, hon.
Bye. Check out Monica's work at Monica, MONNICA.com. I hope you enjoyed the show. What a breather. And, of course, I'll be back with the news tomorrow. And I did want to remind you, when we were talking earlier about techniques I didn't get a chance to say, go back into the archives and listen to the show I did on Your Life After Their Death. I forget who the author of that book was, but she had some really good techniques too to how to develop and how to communicate with your dearly departed if you choose to. For me, most of the people that are dead are people I didn't want to talk to when they were alive, so I don't have that big interest. Only kidding. Some people I do, some people I don't. Anyhow, thanks for listening and supporting the show. I'll see you guys tomorrow.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.